Okay. Shincha Talalof Halacha Gimel. Chamei Chomish Rivoyim Halalu. This that we say that you need to have 5 quarters of a kav of flour to be chayv and challah. That's shir challah. So the thing is, Hasa'ar, Bahasubin, Bahamursim, and Starfin, Lahashin. These other things are added, just I'll tell you where they are in a second. They count to be mitzarif towards the shir. So it doesn't have to just be the, so to speak, pure flour. These other things also count. And those things are, the din mentions three things, it's really a Mishnah. Hasa'ar, which is the sourdough. That's what we would call yeast, but sourdough really means is that you take flour, dough from today and you leave it till tomorrow. The yeast multiplies, and you have lots of, then tomorrow, basically that's now a bowl of yeast. Notice that it adds flavor to it, but it's meant as just a way of putting a yeast.
It looks like dough, right?
It looks like dough, but it doesn't taste like dough.
Is it sour?
It's what's called sourdough. I mean, the Gemara says it's not roi lachila. By the time the day is over, the yeast has multiplied a zillion times, and that's a bowl of yeast. No, I didn't try making it. But bakeries use it. More professionals use it. Aside that it's yeast, it also gives a certain character to the taste. And the other two are Hasubin Bahamursin, which we're, for today, going to just call bran. That's what we're going to call it. I'm going to explain to you what that is in a second. That's my pictures before. But it's a big challenge we join them, and of course, later in the Hachorim also is what that means. There's a Mishmur about it. Rechaim Kineski has a long thing about it. Some people want to say that Morsin means the husk on the outside of the kernels, and that the Subin means the bran. Most Pesachim do not seem to say that. Most seem to say that they're both shearing within the bran, two variations within the bran.
Ought to be the husk, isn't that discarded?
Yeah,
what's the brand?
I'm coming to it. Just give me a second. What? I'm going to explain to your brand this in a second. Yeah, that's what the picture's for. I'm going to get that in a second. But for our purposes, we're just going to call the Sa'ar and the Mursa, we're going to call them both brand. Okay, they're probably different layers within the brand or different variations of the brand.
Subin and Mursa.
What did I say?
Sa'ar and Mursa.
I'm sorry, Subin and Mursa. That's what I meant to say. Again, there's a Mishabur about it. There's a long, Chayefke has a long shtickle about it. But for our purposes, we're going to call them all brand. Okay, so these things are all mitzarif to the shear. But the Shulchan Aruch says im lashem b'lai hakadah. That's only talking about if you knead them into the batter without sifting them first. I'm going to explain to you what that means in a second, but it means without separating them first. So you created the flour that had in it the subin and the mursin. Of course, that's already eaten later on, but the subin and the mursin were included, and then so those count towards the shiur. Aval imrikid v'hifish mursin mitachon. If before you had made the batter, you had sifted out the mursin. And it also means, most people hold that it means the subin also. If you sifted them out first, the chaz of your irvon imoy, and then you give them back in later on, in a mitzarf, but it doesn't count towards the shear. So it only counts to the shear if the flour includes it naturally, but if you add it in, then it doesn't count towards the shear. Okay, so to understand what's going on over here, I'm going to try to describe to you at least my understanding of how you make flour. And that is like this. Okay, while we talk about this, just for the... whatever. We're going to mention four of the lam tes melachos are going to come up in here, for those of you who care. Okay, then it's like this. When you make when you see wheat growing, like out in the fields, if you drive past it, when you see wheat growing, at the top of the stalk, there's something called a head, okay, and the head got in it dozens of wheat kernels or wheat berries. That's the official name, the wheat berries, okay? And each one of the berries looks like this, okay? This is what the berries are, okay? And the berries are... You want to
forgive it? That's for the flowers.
I'm going to explain to you what the flower is. Just give me a second. I'm going to explain to you. Okay. The berry has an outside of it has a husk. Okay, and the husk is a that's this like flowery part on the outside. The husk. Okay, that's not considered to be food. And the way you get you remove the husk, you do two of the melachas. The first melacha you do is the melacha of dash, which is to say you crush or you thresh the whole kernels. And what it does is that separates that cracks off the husk. Off of the rest of it, and then the husk is very light. It's more like a leaf. It's not very light. So when you use wind to blow that part away, leaving the kernels behind, the berries get left behind. You blow that away. That's the melacha of zera. Okay, those are the things to get the husk off. Okay, that's before you. That's like sort of a preparation step. Okay, now you have just the kernel, just the wheat berry, and now that berry has three parts to it. Okay? There are three parts to the berry. The smallest part is on the very bottom. It's called the germ. That's the part which will eventually grow into the new plant. Okay, that's so to speak, the seed. I mean, this whole thing is called the seed, but it's as if that's the part that's going to actually grow. It's about 2.5% of the kernel, and it has in it a number of things, vitamins, of course, and proteins, and particularly has fat, significant amounts that it has fat in it. Okay, the next part is the bulk of the kernel. It's about 83%, they tell me, which is, it's a starchy part of the kernel. It's called the endosperm. Okay? And that's going to be the food which the germ is going to live on for the first few days to get itself growing. Okay, that's what the germ is, what's actually going to grow, and the endosperm is here, this food. The Baruch Hashem gave it its food to get it started to be grown. It's primarily made out of starch. It also contains in it the protein, or the gluten. That's a protein, kind of a protein, and of course an assortment of vitamins also. Okay, and the last part is the bran. It's like an outside shell that goes around the endosperm and holds the whole thing together. It's about 14.5%. Okay, that's like a shell that holds the whole thing together. Got also a whole assortment of different vitamins and minerals, but has lots of fiber. Okay, it's not really a digestible part. It's mainly fiber. Okay, so when you want to make white flour. Today's topic is whole wheat flour, but to get to whole wheat flour, guys, we need to make white flour first. When you make white flour, the white flour comes from the endosperm. Okay, the endosperm, that's the starchy part in the center. The way you get the endosperm out, okay, the way you get it out is you put the kernels through two wheels, okay, and the two wheels spin at different speeds. That's how they do it nowadays, okay, the stainless steel wheels, and they spin at different speeds, and the action of putting it through between these two spinning wheels, the wheels are spinning, I don't know what the word is, but opposite directions, okay, in an opposite direction, and the grains fall in between. And what it does is it breaks it. That's what they actually call it, a break. They break the kernels. And the idea is to break the kernel into these three different parts. You want bran, endosperm, and germ to separate from each other. Okay? Now, in the first break, it's obviously not going to be very perfect. You're not going to get a perfect, just by running it through two wheels, you're not going to get it to break everything into its little pieces. So what happens is, after the break, it goes through, that break is called teichin, okay, that's tchina. After it goes through that, it gets sifted. Okay, and the way the sifting works is, it's like a huge box, and the box has in it four or five screens in it, and the screens are of different sizes, get smaller and smaller sizes, screens going through the thing, and as after you've broken the kernel, it passes through these screens, and the whole thing shakes. Okay, a flour mill, the whole place is shaking. Okay, the whole these big boxes are dancing around. Okay, they're all shaking around as and so forth, which is Merakit. Okay, Merakit, it's sifting it. But instead of sifting it, we think of with one sifter, they have five sifters on top of each other, or at least four or five of them on top of each other to get the different types of things to get out of there. Okay, so the top layer catches bran. Okay, the bran is the thickest piece that break off the bran. Now
when it breaks, it naturally separates into three different
pieces? No. Yeah, it just breaks up into a million pieces. So on the top layer, you're going to be bran.
Million pieces separate, otherwise they wouldn't filter.
Hold a second. On the top layer, you're going to be bran that has endosperm attached to it. Right. They're not going to be perfect. In the first break, you're going to get bran that still has endosperm in it. On the next layer down, you're going to get things, they have other layers, I'm not sure what all these mean, middlings and sizings, those used for like farina and used for animal feed, and then you get to lower layers that have germ. The very lowest layer is the thinnest, most powdery item, that's the flour. Okay, so on the first break you get a little flour.
Those layers come from the endosperm?
The flour comes from endosperm, yeah. Germ came from someplace else.
No, the
middlings come out of, they're a mixture of these things, I'm not sure. And the top layer is bran with endosperm. It's
how
together.
Does the flour get turned to a powder?
It just got broken apart. Just by smashing it, just by running through there.
In the break part, but not...
In the break part. No, in the break.
Eventually, it gets sifting and sifting until only the...
In actual plant, is there flour already?
No, if endosperm is what we would call flour. It's as if
it's
flour.
It's powdery already. Powdery.
Roughly powdery. I guess going through one break is enough to just break it apart into flour. It's roughly... So what's going on in the first break? You get a little flour and a lot of the other stuff. Okay, and then what happens is each of those layers of sifting goes off to its own stream. So at the bottom of this big dancing box, underneath it, you have a bunch of tubes of stuff coming out of it. Okay, the different streams that you've collected. Okay,
the whole wheat flour. The whole wheat part is also the same size as the flour part.
I'm coming to the whole wheat.
We're coming to whole wheat flour.
Right now, I'm talking about white flour.
You know what goes soyless and chemical, right?
those are finer grades. How many napas did you put it through, right? Until you put it through Yud-Bey's napa, until you put this. The more sifting you do, the more garbage you... I don't remember. I don't know. The more you sift it, is the more of the undesirable parts you get out, and the more of the, only the finest stuff that comes through to the bottom. Okay, so what happens is, that's the first break. After the first break, you got a little bit of flour and a lot of other stuff. Then you take the bran from the first break, and it goes to a second break. Okay, so that bran gets broken a second time. The rest of the stuff is not broken. That's done. I should say it's done. The rest of the stuff goes off to be either used as is, or could be milled to make it finer. Maybe they don't like the thickness of it, but it's finished being sifted. Now the bran goes to be a second break. Usually they come with this 3, 4, 5 breaks in a mill. Okay, so it goes from the first break to the second break, and each time you sift it through these bunch of different sifters and get all the different layers from it. Okay, and the idea is you're trying to get up as much flour, as much endosperm that has no bran attached to it. Okay, that's the goal here, is to get as much of the flour as you can and to sift out as much of the stuff you don't want out of it. Okay?
I didn't do it 2,000 years ago.
Good question. Yeah, there's a second. No, but they sifted it. Why not? They sifted it. They would break it, they would mill it.
They didn't make white flour.
They did. They would mill it, they would mill it, and then sift it by hand. They didn't mark it, they sifted it.
So I imagine you need to have a type of milling that doesn't turn it up powder.
Yes, yes. You
can sift it out of
it. Yes, because if you... If you milled it too finely in the first break, you wouldn't be able to get the bran out. The idea is to mill it a little bit, not perfectly. This way the bran stays by itself, and that way you could sift it out. You want to sift it out. Okay, so, I didn't tell you, but obviously before you start this whole process, is what's tempering. It's a Pesach shayla. You temper it. You soak the grain, you get the grains moist, because it helps the bran get off better. Okay, now, this is what people did.
Well, the gap before challah, because you know everything is something.
Yes, yeah, that's going to be in the way similar. Yes, correct. Forgot about that. Yes, correct. Okay, that was what I just described to you is how you make white flour, and that's what most people did. Okay, but people who couldn't afford it, the process, but people who wanted to have their flour stretched a little bit, they would not separate these pieces, and they would keep the pieces inside. They would keep the bran and the germ inside. They'd keep it in their flour because it stretched their flour. Okay, it made instead of this much making a pound, it also made a pound and a half, a face, whatever. It was another close to 20% bigger because the bran and the germ take up the number together
17%. It's also minus the germ.
It doesn't have the germ or the endosperm. Right. It has just the endosperm. That is the germ or the bran. It has just the endosperm. Okay. So now. The lemaise is so with this piece the Gemara uses that to answer a kasha. Okay, the Gemara asks a stira. The Gemara in Shabbos asks a stira like this. There's a mission that says that the suban and the mursin are not mitstarif to the shear for hoitzah on Shabbos. Okay, you only have on Shabbos if you take out something that's chashuv. It has to be a certain size, but I don't know what the shear is for flour. But whatever the shear is, the subin and the mursin do not count to the shear. Right, Gemara. Why does the Mishnah say that when the Mishnah we just had, what we just mentioned, says that the subin and the mursin do count towards the shear challah? So is it edible or is it not edible? And if it's edible, it should count for Shabbos. If it's not edible, it shouldn't count for challah either. Okay. So the answer is taket is edible. Be'etzim it's edible. But the Gemara says, Shekein Oni Oichel Pita Belusa. Okay, only an Oni would eat his bread with the other pieces included into it, with the whole flour. He wouldn't, everybody else, the standard people eat it only with white flour. They sift it out first. And therefore, for Shabbos, you have to have a shear that's mochashim, and therefore it doesn't count. But for challah, it just has to be edible, and yes, edible it is. Okay, so edible it is, and therefore it counts as a shear challah. Okay, so now that we've heard this, that's how you make white flour. And when you make whole wheat flour, you don't do all this sifting. You just grind it up, and you have what you have. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says.
What's white whole wheat flour?
White whole wheat flour? I don't know. I don't know if there's a thing as white whole wheat flour. I believe there could be such a thing. Then there must be someone.
It's not counting more than that.
Right. If you tell me there's a thing as white whole wheat flour, I never heard of it. Someone's coloring it. Someone's bleaching it. No. Someone's bleaching it. Someone's doing something to change the color of it. Okay. I actually maybe have a hedge before it, but I'll tell you. Okay. So now, the because of this, now let's go read back our din again. The din said, if you grind the flour completely and you keep the subin and the mursin in, you keep the bran in the original mixture, it counts as a shir challah. If you take it out, if you did the sifting and you made white flour and then you threw the bran in after it, it does not count. Okay, I'm going to tell you more about why it doesn't count in a second. But for now, that's what Ardin said. If you sifted it out and added it back in, it doesn't count. And if you kept it in, then it does count. Okay, so all this that I told you so far is all the way things used to be. Okay, but in most places, from what I hear, most places, depending on who you ask, in the United States and Canada at least, don't do this. Okay, they don't make whole wheat flour the way I just described to you. I told you the way you make whole wheat flour is you grind it up, and you don't bother with all the sifting. And what you do is you just grind it up and you have your flour. Okay, but nowadays, the mills use something called recombination. Okay, what does that mean, recombination? Recombination means is they sift it, like I said, making white flour. They do the same dancing and sifting that they did for making white flour. And they have all the separate parts. And they have these huge containers of all the different parts that came out of the flour. And then they add the pieces back in. You want whole wheat flour? Okay, so you get 14% bran, or you want a little less, but you get 13% bran. You get a little more, a little less, the bran, you throw in some germ. Some people do put in germ, some people don't put in germ. It's the whole debate whether you shouldn't put in germ. And they put it in, and they recombine it to give you the whole wheat flour. Okay, so why would anybody do that? Okay, so actually,
to make it more calorie.
Take all the fat off the milk.
Right.
Takes all the fat off.
Exactly, and then
1%, 2%.
Even if you want whole milk,
the whole of it.
No, okay. So why do they do it? So the CRC gives us chocolate to a mill who actually doesn't use this method. They have three has barriers as to why people do it. One is for the simplicity of it. Okay? It's just easy for the mill side. Everything gets separated into white flour, and then depending on the orders, we refill up. That was one Hesper. Another more, okay, well, legitimate if we could use the word Hesper was like this. The bran contains in it enzymes, and the germ contains in it fat. Okay, both of those cause problems to the shelf life of flour. Okay, the fat is the easier one to understand. The fat turns rancid in your flour. So instead of the flour lasting this long, if you include in it the germ, it's not going to last that long because the germ is going to start to rot. Let's say I'm making up a number. Let's say after 60 days instead of after 90 days that the bran would have that the endosperm would have lasted. And the bran has enzymes in it that also have an effect on the flour, the shelf life of the flour. So if we separate them first, then you could do processes of the individual little pieces. You could take the germ and heat it to make it that it won't go rancid afterwards. You could do different things you need to each piece and then stick them back in. And all of a sudden you have a long shelf life for these things. Okay? In the olden days, supposedly, they used to mill things when they wanted it. They took out the wheat, ground it up, and they used it for that day. It wasn't a shayla. But for nowadays, they want to have a long shelf life. That was a better... make you feel a little better, like they're doing it for good reason. And other thing they said it had to do with particle sizes. If you grind everything together, you get one sort of one size. And this way you could take each of the pieces and grind them separately, and that might be the answer to his question, how to get the whiter whole wheat flour. If you grind the bran really finely, then it may not make such a difference. It may not show as much. It may not speckle the thing as much.
How much?
Maybe they put in less bran. Right? They put in bran. The mill said it. They put in bran as per the order. If the customer
so you can get something that's whole wheat flour, it's really only half whole wheat flour. You
correct. Now, this whole thing that this method called recombination is a huge debate in the mills and in consumers, okay, because people do whatever they want to. No one could tell whether they're getting this one or that. So
they have no regulations.
Right, there's no rules. So the people, the purists say, I only want my flour that should be mama's ground, the original way, all together. I don't want you separating and putting it back together. And the other guy say, what do you want from me? I'm basically giving you the same thing that you had anyhow. What do you care? I'm giving you the same stuff. Okay, and then, so some people said, okay, you know, we're going to call it stone ground when we mean that we ground it all as one. Okay, when we ground it as one, we call it stone ground. And then the guy said, hey, okay, there's no regulation that say what it has to be stone ground. So they told us, I don't know if this is true, that there's a mill who, after they do the regular process, then they pour through the ceremonial stone mill, they just pour it through, you know, and they say, okay, stone ground. So there's like no rules. Okay, so there's big debates about should they make rules about it, should people don't like how they're being taken advantage of. That's what the one who we give Hashkacha to is very proud that they don't use this method. It's a whole debate. Okay. But, so aside from the politics of it and the health questions about it, is like this. What does that say to us now about the sheer challah, the whole wheat flour? The Shulchan Aruch says that if you take it out and you stick it back in, it doesn't count towards the sheer challah. Okay, so does that mean to us that if so, that means if you use whole, if you make, one of the ladies here, probably make this, said to me, she always makes whole wheat challah, so that is her sheer challah different than everybody else's sheer challah? Okay?
Is why they take it out? Like, why in the Shulchan Aruch, why were they taking it out?
Okay, I'm going to get to that. Yeah, that maybe makes a difference. Yes. Let me just give you some numbers, just to help you understand what the question is. We had talked about, 2 times ago, the shir challah for regular flour. So the two main sheetahs that we were working with would have said 2.5 pounds to be mafresh without a bracha, and 4.7 pounds to be mafresh with a bracha. Okay. For whole wheat flour is a little lighter, it's less dense than white flours, so the shear would be 2.3 pounds and 4.4 pounds. Okay, that would be the shear for whole wheat flour because it's a little less dense than white flours. Okay. But if you don't count this 14.5%, then the shear becomes 2.6 pounds or 5.1 pounds. Okay, so it makes a tremendous difference, but a somewhat of a difference between should the shear be 2.3 pounds or 2.6 pounds. Okay, that's a certain difference between it, or for the with the bracha 4.4 or 5.1. Okay, so there's a difference in how much the shear should be. I'm not including if they included germ, the shear is even a little bit smaller, a little bit bigger. Okay, so that's a question. Should we, seemingly, if the Shulchan Aruch says if you add the stuff back in afterwards, it doesn't count as a shear. So it means when you say to someone, you need, this is a shear, it's not true. For whole wheat is lighter, so it uses a little more, a little less flour, but it includes all kinds of things that so to speak, don't count. That's the question. So, I think that the answer is that it's not true, and it really counts. In order to understand that, it would seem that we have to look at the Yerushalmi who explains this thing. Okay, this Mishnah that said if you added it back in, it doesn't count, and if it was there originally, it does count, if the Yerushalmi talks about it, as you can imagine. Yerushalmi says like this. Yerushalmi is a kasha. The Mishnah says, that if you add bran in later on, it doesn't count towards a share. Okay, this is the Mishnah at the beginning, Mseftas Chal. A later Mishnah says like this. What happens if you take flour and you add rice into it? Okay, you take wheat flour and you add rice into it. The Mishnah says, under the right conditions, it counts towards the shir challah. Okay? Well, so the Yerushalmi says, I don't understand. If rice counts towards the shir challah under the right conditions, how can bran not count to the shir challah? Bran is that much more wheat than rice is. It doesn't make sense. If rice counts to the shir challah, why wouldn't bran count to the shir challah? That's the Yerushalmi's kasha. So the Yerushalmi has two answers. One answer is, it's true. It's a machlokes between two Mishnayos. Rav Shimon Gamliel Tachta holds that these things don't count. Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Mishnah that says that the bran added in doesn't count is going to Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Mishnah about the rice is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. In fact, a machlokes between the Mishnayos, the Mishnah doesn't say that. You don't see any names in the Mishnayos, but in fact, a machlokes between the two Mishnayos, in fact, the coins, both, they're the same. If the rice counts, then the bran counts, and if the bran doesn't count, then the rice doesn't count either. Okay, now, we know that's not, we don't pass like that answer in the Yerushalmi, because our din said if you add the bran in, it doesn't count, and if you go a few halachas later, it's going to bring the din of the rice, that if you add the rice in, it does count. Okay, so that answer in the Yerushalmi, it's one of the truths in the Yerushalmi, but it's obviously not the halacha, because, again, the six halachas apart from each other, we pass like both of those mishnayos. Okay, so we don't like that answer in the Yerushalmi. What's the answer in the Yerushalmi? Other answer in the Yerushalmi? It says like this. Yerushalmi says, when people make batters, they add all kinds of things into their batter. Like, I'm adding you can guess a few words here. People add eggs and cocoa and sugar, all kinds of things get added in. And rice is a thing that people would add into their batter. That's a normal thing to do when you make a batter. But nobody adds in, now nobody's not exactly the right word, but basically nobody adds in bran into their flour, into their dough, and therefore the pasuk says you have to be mafresh challah mereshis arisa sechem from the arisa that you would make. That means it's what would be a normal person to make. It's not derech isa. It's not a derech of an isa to add bran into it. And what that means is bran is not an edible thing. People don't add bran into their food, and therefore it's not derech isa, and therefore it's not chayim. It doesn't count towards the shear because it's not the normal way you'd make an isa. Darshan from this pasuk of arisa sechem. And the sugar is a normal thing to get into an isa. No, the sugar doesn't count, but sugar potentially counts. So, for example, the rice meets some condition, and therefore it does count. But at least it's with, it does, the bran would count, theoretically it would count, but it's not derech isa. Okay, it doesn't count because this is not going to make an isa. Like, for example, let's say you made something that wouldn't be lechem. Okay? You made, so then it would be... Right, so sugar can't count for another reason. So rice, for example, is something that could theoretically count. And when I said people ate it in, it's just...
Are there any common ingredients people that we ate that would count?
Excuse me?
Are there any common ingredients people ate today that do count?
No. Rice. Yeah, rice.
Common ingredients. People don't eat rice in the bottom. Common ingredients.
No. We don't have other examples.
It seems to be a whole...
We're going to see when we get to the test. Halachatas. Ha'oisi mechita mei ha'ayr is, but then there's certain things, sometimes it counts. And we'll see there may be other things happening. So Pashas, no. Pashas only, it's a special thing for rice. But there's such a thing, we'll see when we get to Halachatas why there is. There's such a thing that things that are not from the Chameishas Nidogim could count when they're added in. And that's what...
Why rice is better than eggs? I don't know.
You're fucking us. Wait till Halacha test. We'll find out why. But that didn't bother you, Shabbos around. There's a mission that says if you add certain things in, it could count. Why is if you could cheat over Shabbos and look at Halacha test, or you could wait till we get to it soon, okay? But the brand would be the same thing, except that it's not Derech Yisidin, and the Shach brings us in, because as I told you, the other territory of Shabbos, we don't pass by. We obviously don't pass by that. This is the Pshat that the Shach brings over here. That's where the Pshat, why for this thing.
So,
yeah, because that's what we're passing. We obviously don't pass like the other territory of Yerushalmi, because you'll see, turn the page and you'll see that we're passing like the dinner of the right.
What comes to the Rambam?
What comes to the Rambam?
I guess you're right. The Rambam.
Okay. Okay, sit down. So now. That means to say is like this. The din that adding bread into your flour doesn't count towards the shilchala. It's not a gzeiras hakasuv that bread doesn't count towards the shilchala. It's not like he said if you had eggs don't count because it's not a thing that can count to the shilchala. Bread could count to the shilchala. It's just that it's not derech isa to be in the shir flour. It's not derech isa, and therefore that's what Shem says it would count, except that's not derech isa. What that means is that if today everybody makes their whole wheat flour that way, if all of a sudden it became the derech to add it into that way, that's the way you make whole wheat flour. Until half an hour ago, you didn't know you make whole wheat flour. That's the derech nowadays. That's the way you make whole wheat flour. We would think that they grind it up like shan kamonia, but it's not true. They have to separate it and add it back in. So now, all of a sudden, now it is derech isa. All the Rishonim said was that only if it's not normal, if it's normal, then it can count. If it's not normal, it doesn't count. And no one says taka. Nobody would put, barely anybody ate the bread in the first place, but for sure not to eat it in later on, so therefore it didn't count. Nowadays, people, that's you, hey, you go into a mill, that's how they make whole wheat flour. If you have whole wheat flour in your house, that's not how they make it.
What does derech isa mean? You translate derech isa to mean that's a normal way people make isa.
Correct. You have a better way to translate?
Maybe derech isa means... What's normally in it? What people normally put in the dough? Only poor people put it in the dough.
Okay.
Let's say, I don't know, there'd be more poor people in the town and in this place. There's a lot of poor people. They're all eating whole wheat bread. But the way to do it is they separate it. Did it change 2,000 years ago also? They fed
probably not.
Welcome. Everybody's eating.
Probably not.
So I don't know. So this just goes down to everything. The Mishigas. The whole wheat bread is healthier. I just said this.
The derech isa to add it in rather than to leave it in the original way. Right? We don't leave it in. We add it in. That's how you make whole wheat flour nowadays.
Derech isa means the derech, the way it's done. I think derech isa means it's normal to put it in.
Okay, so I'm gonna say what you said.
So you can make your argument and say that well, it changes. Not a lot of people eat whole wheat flour.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
It's considered like a psoas.
Okay, so I'm gonna say both of what you had to say in different words. Okay, you'll hear what I have to say, and you'll tell me if you think I said the right thing. Okay, so I had this thought, and I asked some people in town what they thought about this. Okay, I didn't ask Rabbi Reese because I thought he was gonna be here. So, but I asked other people what they thought. I asked some people what they thought. So the first person who I saw to ask about it. Was revolutions. Okay? I don't remember why I was at Tells. And I asked him what he thought about it. And he said, you know, you had to think about it, but he heard what I was going to say. Then I asked, whether this, nowadays, if it became the normal way to make the thing, should that now qualify? Isn't a pasuk that says brain doesn't count? The pasuk says the derech counts, and not the derech. Okay? So I asked Rabbi Friedman what he thought. Rabbi Friedman here. What he thought. And he said to me, he said, no, he's not convinced. He says, you know, I'm making the assumption that derech isa means, this is what I thought you were trying to say, that I'm making the assumption that derech isa means what do people usually get into their thing. So, like as if, so to speak, Chazal went out and made a survey, and they found that what people ate and what they didn't eat in, and they had 20 ladies in town ate it rice, and only 2 ladies in town ate it bran, and therefore they came up with this thing that it is derech or it's not derech. He says, he doesn't think like that. He says, the way he sees it is that the derech isa is based on a hashara, which is bran is not edible. Bran, you can't digest bran. Okay, so nobody adds into their batter things that don't play a role in the food. If it's there already, so it's tuffle. If it's there already, it's part of the whole grain, so it's part of the thing, so it sort of counts towards the shear. But why would anybody eat it? It's like saying, would someone eat in sand into flour? We don't get to the survey. It's not because we know that most people don't eat sand into their food. It's that, why would anybody eat it in? You can't eat sand. It doesn't have any value to you, so nobody would add it in. So Mamela, they said it's not derech isa because it's a thing that makes like no sense. It's like, imagine if you added the husk into it. Husk, obviously it's not edible. No mashugan would eat it, but not because we surveyed it, we know how many people. It's because it's not an edible. Now, it happens to be the din that it is edible. That's the din. We're passing in truma. It is actually edible. But pashut, most people wouldn't eat it because essentially it's considered not really a food item. Okay, so MK, and therefore he said it doesn't make a difference. It's something inherent to the brand. It's not something that because of a survey that nowadays we could change the survey. Okay, that's what he said. Then, so I heard that also. If then Rabbi Yoel Milon. Okay, and therefore, if it will not count to the share, if it wouldn't, then it's still not derech isa. It's not derech isa. So no, then Rabbi Yoel Milon said to me, he said no, he doesn't. He said maybe Rabbi Freeman's right. Let's accept even that he'd be right. He says, but how goofa that you say that it's not considered edible and that people don't eat it because this is not an edible item, how goofa is not true anymore. Okay? Nowadays, the fact that it's not digestible and the fact that you don't get as much nutrition, I mean, you get like vitamins out of it, you don't get nutrition betzim out of the bran, people say, no, it's good for you that you should have fiber. Okay, or how goofa that it passes through your system as fiber, it's good for you. People pack it in, they make an effort, they'll pay extra, or they have a preference for the whole wheat over the other things. In other words, there's lots of people who only eat whole wheat, not because they're poor, not because they can't afford white flour, it's because they think, to them, that's a preference to eat that. They, for the same dollar, they could buy whole wheat or they could buy regular or white flour, but that's why whole wheat. For them, that's considered a milah. So what the whole idea here, really, what the whole Yerushalmi is based on, which is, Shekin Ani Oichel Peter Belusa, only an Ani would eat his food like that, that whole thing is really not, it doesn't apply anymore to us. And nowadays, we don't at all think of it like that. That only Aniyim eat whole wheat flour? No, I mean, Aniyim eat French fries. I mean, Aniyim don't eat whole wheat. They don't eat whole wheat flour. Ever see Aniyim eating whole wheat flour? No, I mean, that's what Mrs. Obama's all about. You know what I mean? Stop eating French fries and eat more whole wheat flour. You know, that's the whole. Nowadays, it's not like that at all. So the whole point here, which is that nobody put it in because, like our Friedman said, because it's not an edible item. Well, people don't use it because it's considered the garbage, it's the soilless, that's what we don't eat. That whole thought seemingly doesn't apply anymore. All of that, so in which case, the din might still be true, maybe if someone added in brand mamash like by hand, but seemingly, the application we're trying to say it for this case, with the added in to mamash make whole wheat flour, seemingly shouldn't apply.
Why would we give it by
hand? I'm not sure. But added by hand maybe is a little more.
If it changes according to this man, and it's not something that's absolute, because I'll said it's like this, and it becomes inherent and absolute, then...
Okay, now, so I have some examples. I thought about adding brand by hand, but I have a few other examples, and you'll tell me what you think about them. Okay. What happens if a person adds in, I'm sure you've heard of this, people putting in wheat germ into their food? Okay? Wheat germ, what's wheat germ? Wheat germ is this part, okay? This is the germ. Okay? They separate the germ out in the flour mill. The germ, the etzem, would spoil. Okay, it would turn rancid because it had the fat inside of it. But they process it so that it doesn't do that. They make sure that it won't go rancid. And then people buy it, and they consider it to be, some people consider it to be healthy, and they add it into their food. So what if that person goes at home, and they take, and while they're making their bread, they stick in wheat germ into it. Okay, actually, because some whole wheat flour doesn't even have wheat germ in it. Okay, well, they understand they want to have more wheat germ into it. Okay? So what do you say now? Is that also derech isa to add it in because people like whole wheat flour? Or what he says, nah, people are buying flour that has bran in it. Most people actually don't get germ in their flour. Even through recombination, most people don't get it. And adding wheat germ still doesn't count towards the shir challah. Because wheat germ is mamash like adding in suvin and mersin into it. It's something that mamash can be separated out, and once it's pulled out, seemingly, it shouldn't count towards the shir. Okay? That's one question. Okay? Another question, that's what our example here is. Okay? Is something called vital wheat gluten. Okay? What's that? That is, that the endosperm... I'm getting that. The endosperm is mainly starch. That's the bulk of it. It's starch. But it also has protein in it. And it has the famous protein, or at least what some people think it's famous. The protein that's in wheat is called gluten. That's the name of the protein that's in there. Okay? And the protein has very special properties that other proteins don't have, which is that it's very elastic and stringy, and that's what helps the bread rise. When the starch ferments, when you put the yeast in and it ferments, the gases that get given off, they get trapped in by the gluten that's holding it in. That's very elastic and holds it in, makes it like a balloon that it fluffs up instead of them escaping, just getting out. Okay? So, what happens if somebody... Now, how do you get vital wheat gluten? Vital wheat gluten is different than the bran and the germ. Bran and the germ are physically separate pieces from the endosperm. If you cut open a wheat kernel, you'll see bran, endosperm, and germ. You'll see those three parts, the three distinct pieces of the kernel. But the gluten is not a separate piece. The gluten is part of, basically, we would say part of the endosperm. The endosperm has two components that are basically the same. Okay, how do you get it out? So I tried to do this morning. I don't know how successful I was. Okay, which was, okay, first I tried to make my own batter, and that was a complete flop. Okay, my batter cake was a whole flop. Okay, so I asked one lady here.
What?
A flour and water. I was a complete flop.
How was it a flop?
How
did you flop?
It
was like saying you
can't
make ice cubes.
You can't
with water.
Not as easy as saying ice cubes. No, it's not as easy as saying ice cubes. It came out as a watery,
good,
gooey mess.
It was
a watery, gooey mess. Okay, so I asked one of the people here who makes challah a lot. I said, can you make me batter? Okay, so make me batter. And then I split it into here, into two. This is the plain flour and water batter. Okay, that's the flour and water batter. Okay, then I took the other here. I don't have my undershirt here. I put it in the car already. And what I did is then you take the flour and water batter. You put it into some kind of a filter. I'm not sure. We'll do the trick. Okay, and you rinse it with water. Okay, and you rinse the whole thing with water. And as you rinse it with water, you see something, epithelium is the starch, pouring off. With the water goes in clear and comes out cloudy. Okay, all the starch is pouring out of the thing, leaving behind just the gluten. Okay, and this is supposed to be the gluten. It didn't come out as stringy as I was hoping it was going to be, or as elastic. You could touch it if you courageous. But we think it's just the gluten. We're not sure. This is the flour. This is the plain flour water. This is the regular flour water mixture. This is supposed to be the gooey. It didn't come out as good as I hoped it would. So I don't know if I have a really qualified undershirt. But anyhow, so if you can wash out all the starch out of it, leaving behind just the protein, so that stuff is sold, and you can buy it in the store. It's called vital wheat gluten. Okay? Now, if you take this stuff and you cook it the right way, it makes something called seitan. Okay, which is considered a meat substitute for vegans who don't want to eat meat.
Just the gluten,
and you cook it up. You cook it up, and you make this thing called seitan. I won't tell you which seitan I think it belongs in over here, but it makes a thing called seitan. Now, but there's another thing you could do with this. That's one thing you could do with this. There's another thing you could do with it, which is you could take the gluten. The difference between winter wheat and the primary difference between winter wheat and spring wheat is how much protein it has in it. Okay, when you want to make spring wheat and winter wheat are used for different things. Winter wheat tends to have, winter wheat has lower amounts of gluten, like 8, 9, 10% protein, gluten. And spring wheat has 10, 11, 12, 13, 14% protein in it. Okay, and that difference in protein makes a big difference. If you want to make challah, you want to make bread, you don't make it with winter wheat. You make it with spring wheat. Because that has the extra protein to make a good fluffy bread to it. If you make it with winter wheat, it doesn't come out as good. It doesn't come out as fluffy and as bready as you want it to be because it doesn't have as much gluten in it. So bakers, professional bakers, use bread flour and cake flour. Those are two different things. Okay, and they're used for different ways.
Which is which?
Cake flour is the winter wheat, and the bread flour is the spring wheat, okay, which has effects to Yashin. We'll talk about that in a few weeks, hopefully. But so there are people who take cake flour, they take winter wheat, and all they do is they add in gluten into it to make it, so to speak, into spring wheat. They raise the protein level by hand. They take winter wheat, and they, for whatever reason, there are reasons why people do this, they take winter wheat, it's actually a bakery that we know about that actually does this, they take their winter wheat, and let's say the winter wheat came out as 9%, okay, and you want to make it into spring wheat, you need to be 12.5%. So you add in 3.5% gluten, and all of a sudden, your winter wheat turns into spring wheat.
Do they know that you just buy the spring wheat, or is this...
This is whatever the special reason is why they do that. Also, you turn your winter wheat into spring wheat. Okay, now the baker that we know about it does it says he adds it at 4%. Okay, and that probably has to do with we asked the vital wheat gluten company, and they told us that their vital wheat gluten is not 100% gluten.
What's the vital gluten?
I don't know why it's called that. I don't know why it got that special name to it. The gluten is about 75%. The stuff that they sell is actually like only like 75% gluten in it. So if you make the math, you have to add in a little bit more in order to get the right amount for protein level, and they add it in to make that. So now
people add it more to make their rice better.
To make it whatever they want to do. It's not well rising. It's that when it rises, it holds it better. The gas doesn't escape as well. Right. So if you add it, Right. So when you, so
rice, it's, rice
yes. So a person who adds this in, does that count towards Ishiya Challah? Okay. So now if he adds it now at 2, 3, 4%, maybe it doesn't make such a difference. I mean, how much difference could it make to your Ishiya Challah? No, it's going to be so exact. It doesn't make a difference to the Ishiya Challah if you add that in or not. Do you say, well, you're eating something different, eating a brand into it, or should you say, guys, this is not brand. This is flour. This thing this morning was just flour and water. Okay. Then I washed it and washed it and washed it, and magically I turned it into gluten. But basically, it's flour and water. That's what it is. So maybe it does count towards the shear. Okay. So for the shear challah,
why should it count towards the shear?
Well, because on the other hand, it's not exactly like bran. And bran is physically something
how can
different.
You say what can be worse than rice? This is part of the.
So is bran. Bran is also not worse than rice. But no, people don't usually add this thing into their food.
But people
don't, how many people do you know that walk around pouring in gluten into their food? So, in other words, the bran and rice are both qualified, and they all qualify towards the shear, but if people don't eat it, if it's not derech isa, then it's not derech isa.
They don't eat it in because it's there already, but if you put it in, you put it in and get in. It's part of the thing.
Is there a real derech, though?
You see, again, it's the same shayla. It's the same question.
That what?
What people, the derech, you know, the derech to do, and what in order to finish saying, was inherently... Won't say food, not food.
Okay.
Is there a way to distinguish between the starch and the gluten?
I have one question. Don't leave that.
Distinguish between the starch and the gluten as is? No.
Physically, no. If you look at it, it looks the same.
It's flour. Right?
Okay, well...
We know it has a different property.
The end of the question is, it's not so to get to these people. This bakery that adds in 4%, I mean, how much of a difference is it going to make this year? Not such a difference. But the bigger shiloh, which I don't have the answer to, is... Do the people who make seitan have to be mafresh challah? If they make it, if they meet other qualifications for lechem, I'm not sure they do. I'm not sure if they meet other qualifications. But assuming they meet all the other qualifications lechem, are they mechuyev nafresh challah just for that stuff? In other words, what did they do? They took a batter of flour and water. They didn't really do this, but for sort of what they did was they took flour and water, they washed it for an hour, and then they made bread out of it. Okay, now to us, it looks like they made something different out of it. They made this thing called seitan, but basically, it was flour and water. That's start off as flour and water. Now, this started from their factory. Right, except that they didn't. But they didn't make the dough. They bought gluten. They bought it from somebody else. Somebody else took flour, washed the flour until they got out, just left just the gluten behind, and sold it to these guys. So these people, they start off with this thing that's... For the bracha, it's probably easier. It's probably just mizrach dreaming. Is it maybe possibly hamotzi? Maybe. So it's the same question, which is: could we say this thing? Could we, if they made it into lechem, would we say that this thing is basically it's flour and water? The fact that we pull out one element of the flour, what's the difference? Basically, it's flour and water. Okay, so we're just fancy, and we know that this element we call this, and this. It's not like bran. That's physically a separate piece. It's in the same piece. Or do you say, no, come on, guys? There's a reason why they call it seitan. If you take flour and water, it doesn't taste like seitan. This is something special to it. Okay, so actually, we were lucky that the first company that we certified, they were Jewish. So we were lucky. We didn't have to think about our first chal. But
make bread out of just the suman part.
Yes.
What's that?
Of course it doesn't count. Of course it doesn't count. I mean, that's the thing. Even if you eat it, it doesn't count.
What's the problem? It's the problem.
The brain itself would qualify. It's in Archive. I don't know what it is. What the bro?